I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm here at HIMSS today speaking with Denise Anderson, President and CEO of the Health Information Sharing and Analysis Center. Welcome, Denise.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. So, Denise, you're here at HIMSS speaking about the importance of building cyber resilience. So based on the kinds of major attacks that we've been seeing in the healthcare sector, including those affecting major supply chain players, what should organizations be doing to improve their preparedness and response that maybe they're just not doing?
So I think it takes a number of things. One is, first of all, being very aware of the threats that are out there and understanding what are the widgets that you produce. So basically patient care is the number one thing that many hospitals and many medical device manufacturers, pharmaceutical manufacturers do. So basically it's just making sure that you understand that and then building out across that delivery of service, because you've got to understand how can you operate, and I mean operate like in delivering services, how can you operate for an extended period of time without IT, without internet, without communications, without data, so without images, for example. So understanding that and then building from that, I think is very important. Then you got to build a plan, and then you've got to have everyone within the organization know the plan, know their roles, and then exercise it on a regular basis. And plan for everything. I mean, be aware of everything that's going on out there, and then understand how that could potentially impact you.
So we've seen, you know, some major incidents. We had the Change Healthcare incident, but there's been so many others. And I know that the Health ISAC often sort of jumps in to try to help out the industry in terms of what they need to be doing, what they need to know about the crises. Tell us a little bit about what goes on, you know, at the Health ISAC in those sort of circumstances.
Sure. So, I mean, there's a number of ways that we do our thing, so to speak. So last year, for example, we just put out our annual report. We published almost 900 targeted alerts. So those are alerts where we actually get information about a specific company that's facing a specific threat. And then we contact that organization, whether it's a member or not, and let them know about the threat that we're seeing and give them some mitigation advice. We also have, you know, our channels where people are communicating with each other on a regular basis, so they're able to share what they're seeing in their environment or what they're hearing about from others and come up with best practices around how to deal with the threat. They're making people aware of the threats that are out there, so there's a number of ways that we do that. We also do a number of exercises. So we do a big exercise every year. We do it in the U.S. and then we do it in Europe called the Hobby Exercise, where we're looking at how the sector comes together, and that's all players. So that's industry, that's government, that's law enforcement, how we all come together and help mitigate against a major attack if one should have impact the sector writ large.
So what are some of the tips that you would like to offer hospitals or, you know, healthcare, large healthcare systems, doctor practice and others to maintain the continuity of their healthcare services for patients during a cyber disruption? And what should they be doing in advance to ensure that they can still deliver care if their organization is hit with a ransomware attack or a partner for that matter?
So I think, you know, it's making sure that you're not in that position in the first place, which is hard because the attacker, it's easy to attack, it's harder to defend. But, you know, being aware, again, of the situations that are out there, being aware that you can be impacted. So, you know, a lot of organizations think that it's not going to happen to them. They've got to change that mindset and they've got to think, no, what if it happens to me and how am I going to survive that? So being able to put into good basic hygiene. I mean, I was just seeing a report that a lot of the attacks that are taking place, the majority of them are around CVEs, vulnerabilities that are earlier than 2020. So, you know, and then the attackers are moving so quickly now with artificial intelligence. There was another report out there where they're actually being able to impact an organization within 27 minutes of initial access. The other thing that's really interesting is it's easier for them now not to encrypt data. So 80% of the attacks don't encrypt data. They actually just exfiltrate data, and then the threat of publishing it is how they're getting their money. So these smaller organizations are getting hit. It's really, we're seeing clinics getting hit left and right, smaller hospitals, because the attackers can do it. They don't have the staff in place to help protect them. So it's investing in that, you know, and it comes from the top. The CEOs have to be invested in cybersecurity, because it's easier to defend and spend money up front, invest in cybersecurity, versus have an attack later and spend millions of dollars trying to fix it.
In fact, during one of the sessions this morning, there was talk about how, you know, you have the immediate cleanup of a ransomware, but then in the background, you're going to have lawsuits and all these other sort of issues that will last for years. How do you get these entities that have such limited resources to understand why it's so important to be thinking about these things in advance?
It's a challenge. I mean, the University of Vermont healthcare system had a ransomware attack, and the CEO was very upfront about it. He said, before my attack, I would never have spent more than I absolutely had to on cybersecurity. After my attack, here's my wallet. So unfortunately, they get hit. And there's nothing, you can't do anything about it. And then it's until they get hit that they realize, oh, wow, I should have invested up front. And that's a very hard lesson for people to learn. Getting that message out there and getting them to understand, if you have an extra dollar, spending it on patient care versus cybersecurity, you know, what's the best process going forward? Because in the end, if you can't deliver patient care because you've had a ransomware attack, What's the benefit of that extra dollar you spent to some new gadget that, treats a patient?
So now, right now, we have a lot of uncertainty in the federal government about the direction that the administration will take when it comes to an assortment of regulatory issues that could impact healthcare sector cybersecurity. What are you most concerned about and why?
I'm going to take this opportunity to say that With ISACs, I think, and you know, I want to make this message resonate, is that the ISACs have been around for over 20 years. We actually are celebrating 15 years. We just talked about that. But we are going to be there for industry. So in the absence of government, you know, when any administration changes, whether it's the same administration and it's another 4 years or a new administration completely, there's always a period of learning, meeting new people, re-educating them about how you do. But the ISACs have been here for a long time, and industry can rely on them. I think it's, you know, very important to tell people that there is a resource for them and the sector coordinating councils as well to turn to if they need help. That said, within the government itself, it'll be interesting with the regulation and seeing the new administration in place, what their take on it is going to be. I know there's a lot of concerns around the new HIPAA regulations and the impact and cost that will have on organizations. I think one of the messages we're trying to do is to make sure, let's take a step back, let's be more collaborative with industry, and let's figure out the best process forward so that everyone benefits from it and ultimately patient safety.
What are you keeping a close eye on in terms of healthcare sector cybersecurity issues this year that maybe we didn't touch upon?
Well, I did briefly mention it, but I think we're seeing ransomware attacks against small clinics, and I think that's escaping under the radar. People, that's patients' data, right? And that's it could be a little orthopedic clinic, it could be a cardiologist, it could be a dermatologist, but those organizations are being attacked left and right. And so I don't think there's enough focus on that. I think we need to help them. We're actually having conversations internally within Health ISAC Home about what we can do to help them. It's how do we reach these clinics out there, and how do we get that message out that they need to be watching their cybersecurity posture and investing in it. So that's certainly something I'm watching. I tend to look at threats a little differently. I mean, ransomware obviously is huge. December, we saw a huge uptick in ransomware attacks, and we're seeing that ramp up again in 2025. Obviously, I mentioned earlier with AI and that enabling threat actors to move a lot faster, so it's harder to defend against. But I think also just the messaging around the fact that organizations need to invest in cybersecurity because in the end, it's better to invest up front versus pay millions of dollars later, and losses in reputation, lawsuits, regulatory fines, those kinds of things. So I think that message needs to resonate. And then finally, you know, I can't not wear my hat about information sharing. It's really, really important to collaborate, whether it's between government and private sector, or whether it's private sector to private sector. We're all in this together, and the threat actors certainly collaborate with each other. We need to do it, and we need to help each other, because, you know, in the end, all of us are going to be patients one day, or know a patient. And so making sure that patients can get care is of utmost importance.
You mentioned the AI aspect, with, you know, AI in the hands of these cyber criminals. Has the Health ISAC been hearing much about, you know, attacks on healthcare that are already kind of using these sorts of tools, you know, the deep fakes and, you know, whatever else they might be doing that might be something that the health sector should be really keeping an eye on more closely?
I think it's nascent at this point in time. I mean, Google Mandiant just put out a report about how various nation states are starting to use AI to target critical infrastructure and organizations. So I think it's something to be aware of. I don't know that we're directly seeing attacks, other than it is helping speed up some of their research on organizations that are out there, as well as moving laterally across their networks. They can easily pull data and sort through it a lot faster.
Well, thanks so much, Denise. I've been speaking to Denise Anderson. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.